And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Welcome to the holiday edition of Sunday night's main event, Canada's premier wrestling radio program, and we are happy to help you put on the headphones and escape from your family. My name is Jason Agnew, and on this edition of the show, we'll take an in-depth look at the steaming log of crap that the WWE wrapped up and put under our collective Christmas trees and called the New Era. Joining me to break it on down, former WWE referee and now co-host of Aftermath on Sportsnet, Jimmy Corderas, will be here in our triple threat alongside my favorite wrestling reporter on the net, Larry Zonka from 411 Mania. Plus, we've got Dave Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer Insider to chat about the class of 2018. Yes, the new entrance into the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame went in this week, including my longtime favorite that I have been waiting to get into the Hall of Fame, Jimmy Hart. We'll chat with Dave about that and all that happened this week in the world of wrestling, along with Impact's new TV deal, if you can call it a TV deal. Turnbuckle Trivia, a homegrown fantasy booker, and your feedback is going to cap off this holiday edition of Sunday night's main event. Taking a break, coming back, and getting you up to date on all that has happened this week in the world of wrestling with the news next. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, we were so busy last week recapping and running down TLC and taking your phone calls, we didn't even get to a news pack. So I've included some of those items into this week's pack just to keep you updated, because some of it has to do with things you may want to watch during your holiday break. Now, instead of kicking off the news with the WWE New Era, or lack thereof, let's start with an actual new era that is happening in wrestling. And what I mean by that is the changing face of Ring of Honor. So, Bandido will be making his TV debut for Ring of Honor in Atlanta, Georgia on Saturday, January the 12th. That's the company's first TV tapings of 2019. Bandido has also been announced for Honor Reigns Supreme in Concord, North Carolina on Sunday, January the 13th. Now, Honor Reigns Supreme is airing live on Honor Club. Also at all of those dates and the tapings will be new ROH signee Mark Haskins. Haskins has been wrestling since 2006. He's wrestled for IPW, held their world title twice, Progress, Defiant Wrestling in the United Kingdom, and for local fans here in Toronto, you may know him from Smash Wrestling. Haskins joins PCO, Brody King, and the aforementioned Bandido as the latest additions to the ROH roster. Now, as you know, this is all happening due to the exodus of the All Elite talent. As a follow-up to that, Matt Jackson tweeted out this week to confirm that the Young Bucks will not be at ROH and NJPW's G1 Supercard at Madison Square Garden, saying, "We will not be there, but I encourage everyone to still go. It's a historic night for wrestling." Cody Rhodes has said the same thing previously. Also on his way out of the company from behind the scenes is BJ Whitmer, who worked as a producer, coach at the wrestling school, and sometimes announcer with Ring of Honor. He was released this week by his own request, and considering the future of Christopher Daniels with the company is also up in the air, as he's also filled the same type of role, ROH may have some producer spots open. As far as in-ring goes, the company officially announced that Jay Lethal will defend his ROH World Championship against Dalton Castle at Honor Reigns Supreme in Concord, North Carolina on January the 13th. Hopefully Castle's body can hold up, as it's been a terrible 2018 for him. If you missed the boat this year, literally, well, you've got another chance, as Chris Jericho posted a video this week announcing that Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea Part 2, Second Wave, will be taking place. Jericho noted that further details will be announced in January, so stay tuned to his social media, and of course, I'll have it here for you as well, and I'm pretty sure my touring partner, from last month, Mark Andrada will probably be getting on that boat. So maybe we'll have a live correspondent there. Who knows? If you like Kenny Omega, and who doesn't, you should probably order Access TV, as the station announced that Omega will host a 10-hour Kenny Omega-a-thon on the channel starting at 2 p.m. Eastern this Friday. Yep, Friday, December the 28th. The marathon will begin with Omega's G1 Climax 2016 win and conclude with his IWGP heavyweight title defense against Kota Ibushi and Cody Rhodes from King of Pro Wrestling 2018. Moving along to this year's Wrestle Kingdom show, due to a left knee injury, Michael Elgin will be replaced by Yuji Nagata in the Gauntlet pre-show match. That puts Nagata on a team with Jeff Cobb and David Finlay. Okay, now that we've got all the world of wrestling out of the way, here's a sports entertainment update. The audience was up 16% for this week's New Era of Raw. This is an upgrade from last week's record low of 2.19 million viewers, ending up at 2.55 million viewers. That's the best figure since September 17th, the day after the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Tuesday SmackDown followed suit. After falling below 2 million viewers for the last 2 weeks, the show was up all the way to 2.281 million this week, an increase of 15%. Matt Riddle has been added to the WWE's house show at Madison Square Garden on Wednesday, December the 26th. Riddle is going to team with Pete Dunne, Aleister Black, Ricochet, and Velveteen Dream in an NXT 10-man tag match against Tommaso Ciampa and the Undisputed Era. Of course, that's Cole O'Reilly, Strong, and Fish. That should be fun to see all these guys at MSG. And hey, just fast forward 2 years and that's who you're going to be seeing at MSG anyhow. They will be the headliners of the company, I am pretty sure. If you live in Brooklyn, you may want to grab a pair of tickets for Evolve on January 18th and 19th, as Johnny Gargano will be returning for 1 weekend only. Gargano hasn't performed in Evolve since 2016, but previous to joining NXT, he was considered the face of the promotion. John Cena did an interview with Sports Illustrated where he mentioned he's in the definite twilight of his in-ring career and is planning on doing whatever is required to extinguish for that matter, his successor. It's a giant relay race, he said, and I'm in the phase where I'm handing the stick off. My time is up, someone else's time is now. Can you believe it? Even in his quotes, he's quoting his own song, The Man is a Robot, and fittingly enough, he's in a movie with robots. However, apparently Bumblebee's pretty good. Send me feedback and let me know if you've seen it. I've yet to check it on out, but I will if you guys say it's good. But in the meantime, what we're going to do here on Sunday Night's Main Event over the holidays is fill your ears with two trivia specials plus the best and worst of show that myself and Lavransky are going to be doing. Which, by the way, if you want to get in on our survey for patrons, you only have till Christmas Day to fill out your survey to be part and be counted in the best of and worst of show. The link is up at patreon.com/SNMEradio. So go do that now. Now, I only mentioned what we're doing because it's a segue to other things that are happening over the Christmas break on the WWE Network. There are 4 pilots that will be airing that you may be interested in. Some are kind of cool. On Christmas Eve, a new series called Fashion Files Cold Case Unit will debut. It's a show about solving long-running WWE mysteries and features Tyler Breeze and Fandango as the fashion police. This is going to air following Raw at 11 p.m. Christmas Day will have Xavier Woods' program called Xavier's Arcade Challenge, where Woods examines the arcade scene in each city he visits. Catch that at 7:30 p.m. on Christmas Day. A kitchen competition show called WWE Kitchen SmackDown is going to air on December 27th at 7 p.m. This one is hosted by Bo Dallas, and it's a cook-off style show similar to Iron Chef. Now, the description says Dana Brooke, Alicia Fox, and Curtis Axel compete in a cook-off for guest judges including Mark Henry and Noelle Foley. Weird. So weird. And finally, to capitalize on an internet trend, Botch Club will air at 7 p.m. Eastern on December 28th. This one is hosted by Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. And by the name, you can figure it's a take on the popular online Botchamania videos. The description reads, Gallows and Anderson watch acrobatic attempts gone awry and take a deep dive into the circumstances behind the infamous Titus World Slide they have written. That's kind of funny. And I'm sure you're just going to see that over and over again. If you see any of these, yeah, let me know if they're good. I don't know if I'm going to check them all out. Currently, I'm pretty fascinated in watching ENC every week. I like that show. It's so low budget and silly, but there's so many inside things on there that I'm like, wow, they put that on. And they do it in a pretty funny way. And the sketches change so quickly on the show that I kind of like it. All right, so back at the wrestling news and coming off the world slide, speaking of sliding companies, in our final bit of wrestling news, Impact Wrestling continues to tumble down the dial as it has announced its move to the Pursuit channel. Okay. Leaving Pop TV with the expiration of their current contract. Yeah, the Pursuit channel, everyone, making Impact more trivial than ever. But in actuality, the Pursuit channel is hunting an outdoors channel that Anthem owns a piece of. And here's what Anthem Wrestling president Ed Nordholm had to say. Pursuit channel is a natural fit for Impact. It has a passionate viewership base that correlates strongly with our core audience and is one of the few broadcast destinations that is expanding its footprint, enjoying a 15% increase in distribution this year alone. With Impact Wrestling coming off a tremendous year of audience growth globally and positive fan engagement, we look forward to leveraging our respective resources to bring fans more of the wrestling content they want to see. Tougher, edgier action. Now, despite that drivel that I just read, there is no possible way to spin this as good news for Impact. Not only are they moving to a virtually invisible channel, but the show is also being moved to Friday nights and is remaining at 10 p.m. Impact will debut on the Pursuit channel on Friday, January the 11th, so mark your calendars for that channel that you probably don't get. Okay, let's talk about something people actually watch now with a couple of MMA notes. UFC canceled their UFC 233 show that was supposed to be taking place on January the 26th in Anaheim, California. All the fights on that card will be moved to other shows. Although it was not officially stated, the reason for the cancellation is the company couldn't find a main event after moving the Henry Cejudo-TJ Dillashaw flyweight title fight up a week to main event their ESPN Plus debut. In a related story, the UFC 233 fight between Robbie Lawler and newly acquired Ben Askren has been moved to UFC 235 March 2nd in Las Vegas. Am I the only one really excited about that fight? Like, I can't wait to see Ben Askren in UFC. That is a fight that I will make a point to go see. UFC president Dana White also confirmed late Friday night that Cain Velasquez will face former title challenger Francis Ngannou in the main event of the February 17th UFC Fight Night event in Phoenix. This is the first full card set for ESPN Linear TV. I mean, it's no Pursuit channel, but ESPN will have to do for UFC. And this week in John Jones drama goes as follows. Jones has declined to enroll in the Voluntary Anti-Doping Agency drug testing program. Jones was granted his license back last week and will be tested by USADA. Jones' attorney said it's complicated. To say refused is the wrong word. There were issues with the proposal. We asked questions and were unable to fully resolve it. Okay, so despite all of this, Jones is going to return to the octagon against Alexander Gustafsson in a light heavyweight title fight at UFC 232 on December 29. That is coming up this Saturday. But he's already looking beyond this as Jones tweeted at Daniel Cormier and said, "Fight me one more time and prove you're actually the champ. I'll donate $100,000 to a charity in San Diego if you accept. Conor McGregor was an actual double champ. The whole world knows your claim is a freaking joke. You're more than welcome to be my first title defense." Never, never have I been so much rooting for a performer as I have for Alexander Gustafsson to destroy John Jones. Hopefully, he does so. And finally, let's do one more item here. It's about Anderson Silva. He said he's got three more fights and then he is done with the UFC. And in a ludicrous claim, Silva said he wants to fight Conor McGregor in one of those three fights. Get in line, Silva. That makes absolutely no sense considering he's fought at 205 pounds versus McGregor, who's held the 145-pound title. Come on. Don't see this one happening. But if Dana could just book that GSP and McGregor fight, that's my MMA wish, my end-of-year wish for 2019. Book that fight, Dana. GSP versus Conor McGregor. I would pay $100 on pay-per-view to see it. I want to see that fight. We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back and, yeah, we'll talk about the new era. I'll go through the call-ups. Everything old is new again on Monday Night Raw, and we'll talk about it next. It's Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. All I need is love. Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like to hear the second hour, just visit patreon.com/snmeradio and become a patron. This gives you access to the weekly shows and all the podcasts that we do as well. It's patreon.com/snmeradio.
We're going to give you what you want. Something new, something fresh. In the coming weeks and months, you will be seeing new faces, new superstars, new matchups. As of now, you are the authority.
It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend.
Well, there you have it. The McMahons, who have taken their place as authority figures on TV for over 20 years, are starting a new era in WWE by being the authority figures on WWE TV. To me, that's what this whole thing just broke down to. And I don't know about you guys, but ever since I was a young kid, my mom always had this saying, actions speak louder than words. And they sure as hell did this week, because despite this announcement, nothing changed. Now, I'm sure you've listened to a bunch of podcasts, read news boards and feedback columns about how they made this announcement and then nothing changed. Well, I mean, I can't say I'm going to offer you a new perspective here, because honestly, I don't think there is one. But the true irony on this show was overwhelming, because this announcement of a new era was done in a half-hour promo segment to start Raw, which then led into a Baron Corbin match. That is the exact same match we saw the night before, and that is the exact same formula that has been tanking this show for the past few months. Honestly, what were they thinking? Now, there have been a few people out there that have tweeted back to my rather negative feedback and said the announcement has been set in place now, but why make immediate changes when they're going into the Christmas season? Ratings are going to be low anyhow. Okay, cool. But I'd contradict that by saying, why make the announcement of change when the change is not going to be immediate? Nor will this change be significant. At least I don't think it will be. And I mean, I say that not as a pessimist, but rather as a knowledgeable fan that has been following the product for my whole life, 20 years of which in a professional manner, working on various radio shows. For instance, let's take a look at the NXT call-ups. And may I pretense this by saying, even if you're a hot property in NXT, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to continue on with that momentum when debuting on the main roster. We've seen it over and over again. Nakamura, Rude, Ty Dillinger, Andrade, Cien Almas, Sanity, AOP. The list is just about as long as Santa's. But let's have some fun here and take a look at our NXT candidates. Lars Sullivan. Now, I maintain this guy reminds me of Snitsky, so I think the question is, will he be Snitsky or Strowman? Clearly, he's going to get a monster push and has been someone in Vince McMahon's plans for over a month now, so I'd expect him to fare the best out of all of the call-ups that were announced. Expect jobber matches and a long undefeated run, but I still question the whole intellectual monster character that they were doing with him in NXT, and I wonder if it's going to carry on. Plus, there may be a temptation to put him on Raw since it's the flagship show, right? But as I've maintained since seeing his first vignette, putting him on the same roster with Braun Strowman is a bad idea, as their characters overlap one another immensely. And a monster versus monster match should not happen till way down the line. Way, way down the line. So Sullivan, Snitsky, Strowman, whatever you're going to be, should be on SmackDown, but should do okay.
So traditional, it's unconditional.
Lacey Evans. Well, for those of you that know me, you know I love the classic pinup style and look. So for that reason, I should be a huge fan of Lacey Evans. That couldn't be further from the truth. Despite several attempts, Lacey wasn't even able to get over in NXT. So, I mean, unless the opposite formula is going to be true where she didn't get over there and she is going to get over on the main roster, I don't think that's going to happen. And I think she's doomed to be nothing more than Major Guns 2.0. Okay, I know, that may sound a little bit harsh. I mean, she does have a military background. She's overcome the odds as far as having a really rough childhood, and she's a mom. There's a special demographic here that the WWE has yet to hit with any other character. But I also recall saying that exact phrase about Bayley, and we see how well that went. Nikki Cross. An excellent character and a wonderful, psychotic, crazy compliment to the Sanity faction. She should have never been removed from them in the first place. I mean, when Eric Young is cutting promos for the group and she's running around like a madwoman in the ring, it's awesome. But when was the last time you heard Eric Young cut a promo on SmackDown? I actually don't know if it's actually happened. The one good thing about Nikki Cross is she's a female character that they don't have anything like on the roster right now. She's very different, and let's face it, different is good. And this character is fine on her own, but stronger together than apart as far as Sanity goes. So I don't see Nikki as the focus of the women's division. I see her more as a gatekeeper. You know, you've got to get by crazy Nikki if you want a shot at the title. So really, mid-card at best. It's the Natural Disasters 2.0, and their name is Heavy Machinery, this time with an added injection of comedy. And where does comedy belong? Well, according to my podcast, in the mid-card. Listen, I like these guys. Otis Dozovich in particular has a lot of charisma, and they have the potential to be a great team to pump up the crowd in the opening match at a house show. These guys are no more than Too Cool was. A great act, but they're nowhere near the main.
I am in the top 1%.
EC3. Well, welcome back, Derek Bateman. I still find it funny that this character is EC3, so it's actually a reference to Ethan Carter III. Dixie Carter's name has inspired a now WWE main roster character. I'm still shocked they didn't change his name when he came back. Great physique, good promo, average in the ring. That is the rundown of what EC3 is. He's an over-the-top rich 1%er, so the WWE clearly wants him to be a million-dollar man or Ric Flair-style character, but instead, I think we're going to get another Bobby Roode. So maybe he can just come to the rescue of Rockstar Spud when AOP eventually turns on him. After all, they're good buddies in real life, and we should probably get some pretty fun vignettes. There you have it. These six NXT call-ups are supposed to be the new era of Raw and SmackDown, the major injection of talent for the roster. Where are the guys that are currently making NXT the excellent show it is? Ciampa, Gargano, Undisputed Era, Velveteen Dream. These are the guys that can come up and if pushed and booked properly, and that is a big if, can make a change, can kick off a new era. WWE has simply opted to overcrowd the mid-card with who they're bringing up. I mean, honestly, I don't mean to be negative, and I hope I'm wrong, but from my 20 years of experience analyzing this product, I don't see the change they're talking about anytime soon. So we'll leave it at that. I mean, we'll leave my opinion at that, but when we come back, two more opinions on the show of people that watch an awful lot of wrestling from 411 Mania. Larry Zonka will be here and will be joined by former WWE referee and now co-host of Aftermath on Sportsnet, Jimmy Corderas. It's the Triple Threat, and it's next right here on Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
What do Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Lucha Underground all have in common?
They're all booked better than WWE?
Well, yes, but the answer I was looking for is that they all sell merch at ProWrestlingTees.com. From Okada to Omega, CM Punk to Dalton Castle, and what better way to show off that you enjoy a good super kick party than by having it written on your chest? The best selection of wrestling merch anywhere is at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Is the triple threat.
There's gotta be a triple threat.
Triple threat.
Triple threat match.
On Sunday night's main event.
It is triple threat time here on Sunday night's main event. These two gentlemen took time out of their holiday shopping and holiday festivities to dive in and probably bitch and complain about the new era or lack thereof. But let's get their opinion before I jade them with mine. First up, of course, yes, former WWE referee, now co-host on Aftermath, Jimmy Corderas. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me again, Jason.
Well, thanks for coming back. And tonight you are paired with, as I always say, my favorite wrestling recapper on the net. He's at 411 Mania, and he is the non-football playing Larry Zonka. How are you, Larry?
Doing as good as you can expect, man. Thank you.
So I just sense a real tired in Larry's voice. And I mean, Jimmy, I'm going to start with Larry here because, Larry, I know you watch so much wrestling and you're watching everything and you're recapping everything. And this week we had all the McMahons come out and tell us that there is going to be a new era. And considering the way Raw has been presented and SmackDown has presented lately with the repetitive nature, was there at all a thought in your mind that this change would actually be happening?
Honestly, no. And it's not so much that it's their fault, it's the fact that you can't realize that things have been crap for a long time and just, we're going to fix it in one night.
Right.
Because number one, it's one night, you just can't quite do it. You can make some changes, you can make it sound like you're going to make changes, which is what they did, but the fact is they're going to come out there, you think they're going to make sweeping changes the week before they're going into pre-taped shows when the ratings are going to be probably the lowest of all time because they're pre-taped because of the holidays. No, this was Vince bringing out the clan because nothing says we fix everything like more McMahons. Then, you know, they come out and they say a bunch of stuff that sounds good. And then for the most part, they kind of didn't do anything. And it's, for the most part, what I expected is it was kind of like the politician going out and glad-handing, and we know taxes are high, guys, we're sorry, and gas prices are high, we'll try to fix that too, and if things don't mean much, we'll try to put some meaning into the show, and...
Larry, you know, I get what you're saying here, but here's the deal. And, you know, I think we all know, as people who follow the business, people who listen to this show, you know, follow in depth and know that the next week is going to be taped due to the holidays, and you're going to have bad ratings for a couple weeks. But my question, though, is if that's the case, and Jimmy, I'll throw this over to you. I mean, why would McMahon and family come out, make these statements, knowing that if changes are going to take place, they're not going to happen immediately because of the fact that they're going into tape shows? Like, why do it now then?
Trying to figure out what they're thinking is kind of difficult at times, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the only thing I could think of is before they get into this, which is going to be low ratings.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Before going in there, at least let's say we're going to do this and make changes before it gets to that all record low, because at least maybe we'll get to, you know, more viewers that way. We'll get them to anticipate this. And like Larry, I'm cautiously looking ahead to see what these changes are going to be. And he's right. You can't do these sweeping changes. You know, you can't like just reinvent the wheel overnight. I mean, at the end of the day, the wheel is still round. And I guess round means McMahon's. But, you know, it's what it is. I mean, like, I guess it's to get people talking and maybe thinking, hey, at least they're hearing us. And we all know how that works out. But maybe that's a game plan, if that makes sense. Trying to get it out there before the holidays, because, you know, during the holidays, if we try to do this, nobody's going to notice.
Okay, so if that's the case, then Larry, I mean, looking forward, they put it out there, but they also simultaneously put the brakes on it, despite maybe the announcement of some NXT talent, and we'll get into that. Do you feel, both of you, do you feel that there is anything that is actually going to happen? Because I am pessimistic towards that. I mean, the pessimist is never disappointed, but I don't see any changes really taking place. Larry?
Okay, I will say that the one thing I did appreciate on Monday night is so many times you have this episode of Raw and it's talking, throw a match out, talking, throw a match up, and you end up with like 8 or 9 matches and like 7 of them mean absolutely nothing.
Right.
And they're short and they're not really this good. So I will say this week, you know, they did the Baron Corbin thing on pay-per-view, then they blew it off again on TV to give the baby faces the revenge. Balor and Ziggler was fallout from the pay-per-view, and it was a good match. The IC title open challenge thing I liked. So glad to see Tyler Breeze get another shot. Tag teams is actually a number one contenders match, so it meant something for next week, as did the women's gauntlet. So matches got time, they were generally better, and they had a purpose for once, instead of, well, we need 3 minutes, get Titus out there.
Larry, you're actually painting a picture of positivity here.
Well, again, I'm not saying it was a great show, but what I'm saying is these were appreciated things for me, because I get sick of reviewing a minute and 30 second to 5 minute matches with a commercial break that don't mean anything. There's nothing from the previous week, and they'll have no fallout next week. So this was an appreciated aspect of the program for me.
Jimmy, I mean, you said, you know, the wheel is the McMahon's here. And if you look at the structure of Raw or SmackDown, just the way that WWE does things, it's really something that hasn't changed since back when you were working for the company. In order to change this, something dramatic has to happen, maybe not only with the on-camera personnel, but along with that, with the format. Do you think that the McMahons can think outside of this and actually do something different? Is there any reason to be optimistic here?
Yeah, because they've been able to adapt, and let's face it, they've been the longest standing company that's still around.
Right.
You know, so you gotta hand it to them for that. I know 1 week here, I kind of railed on the fans for being interesting that Daniel Bryan brings up Fickle. Because it's like perfect classic heel that, you know, he gets under your skin because he's kind of telling the truth a little bit, and I kind of agree with him. But getting back to your point, you know, it's difficult, especially nowadays when you're trying to, I agree with Larry. I like the fact that at least the matches meant something. There's a purpose. There's looking ahead. There is a, okay, what's going to happen next aspect to it. Whether they keep that up, I don't know, because like you said, back when I was working there, we always viewed as Raw as the entertainment show and SmackDown was the wrestling show. Now they have a third brand, which is NXT, which I think caters to that hardcore audience. So maybe they're just going to consider themselves, I hate to give these guys a cheap plug on your show there, Jason, the Walmart of wrestling. Where it's a one-stop shop, you go there, you get a little bit of everything. You get some entertainment, you get some wrestling, and then you get some stuff for the hardcore audience. Maybe that's just their business model going forward.
So 6 people being brought up from NXT, which is some of the changes that are supposedly being made. It's Sullivan, Evans, Cross, Heavy Machinery, and EC3. Larry, who do you see that has the most potential out of these 6 performers that are coming up?
Technically, Lars, simply for the fact that he's a giant monster And if you know anything about Vince and what he likes to do, he will likely get every opportunity to impress.
Right.
And just he'll get chance after chance. EC3, I mean, the dude looks fantastic. The dude can talk. He's not a great wrestler. I love the guy, but, like, that was one of the things is when he was at Impact and stuff, I'd always sit there and everybody's like, oh, EC3's gold. EC3's gold. They got to push him. They got to push him. It's like you can only push a guy that's incomplete so much.
I guess something that's definitely something that's changed for this era because, you know, look at someone like Hogan, who's definitely incomplete as far as in-ring work goes. But now it has to be a part of a performer that is at the top.
Well, the thing is, though, is if you want to get technical about it, I mean, Hogan was a tremendous worker for the aspect of he got the most out of the very least. And everything he did, I mean, God, go back and look at any of the Hogan stuff. Just the crowd involvement, the rabidness of everything. I mean, you know, I mean, no offense to EC3, he's no Hulk Hogan. You know, I love Nikki Cross. I mean, but like if she's put with Sanity, I mean, look what they've done with them so far.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. I was surprised when Cross didn't come up with Sanity. Jimmy, looking at the two women that are coming up here, it's Lacey Evans and Nikki Cross. I'm not surprised that Cross is coming up because obviously, in my opinion, she belongs with Sanity. Lacey Evans, though, is a strange choice for me. I mean, I know Vince loves his Patriots and he loves his blondes. I have a complete disconnect with this character. Do you see anything coming of her?
I feel like that may have been the wrong choice from a fan standpoint, and I agree with your assessment. I mean, she is right in Vince's wheelhouse, much like Larry said that Lars is.
You're right, right.
On the mean side. That said, I don't know because especially, I think she'll be probably pegged for Raw because the SmackDown women's division is so good right now as far as talented ladies and ladies who can actually really go. You got your Beckys and Charlottes and your Oscars, and I don't think that she fits in that mix very well. I think she's more suited for Raw, but then again, you got Ronda Rousey there, and you know, do you feed her to Ronda right now? I don't think so.
I think you need a build with her for sure. I think you're right, though. I think she does find her way onto Raw, and then maybe Cross goes to SmackDown.
And really quickly, if I don't mind, just on Larry's point there with Hogan. Hogan had, like you mentioned, didn't have the complete package, but he did make up for in charisma. Like what you lack in one area, you have to make up for in another. And Hogan just did it, and there are guys who can do that are great workers.
Yeah, it is a matter. I mean, you know, the Paul Heyman recipe always works well still in the modern day, whereas you accentuate the strengths and you hide the weaknesses. And that's something that, you know, they have to rely on booking for. We touched on SmackDown a bit so far, but I haven't mentioned this on the show, and that is the strange choice and rise of Mustafa Ali this week, getting the pin on Daniel Bryan. Now, Larry, I know you watch everything, and I know you've come on this show a few times and said you really like 205 Live as a show. Mustafa Ali being a prominent character there, what do you think of the inclusion onto the SmackDown roster for him?
I mean, for him, it's going to be great because he's going to get a raise and actual exposure, and he's been one of the guys who has been one of the most consistent in-ring performers for the company all year. Unfortunately, being on 205 Live, not everybody knows that. He has been really great. I love the guy. My only main disappointment of him being, you know, technically, you know, called up is the fact that they had a great long-term story going for him, which would have eventually led to him winning the title. And that's not going to happen now.
I do think that he's in a better position, though, just as you said, with all the exposure-wise. I think he'd be quite fine with sacrificing his 205 Live title.
Oh, exactly. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people forget this when NXT guys get called up and they get upset. And I know they get upset because they see guys like Andrade Almas not being used worth anything. And it's a frustrating process when you see somebody hitting career highs in NXT, and then they come up and it's like they're being treated like they were brought out of the bingo hall and can't work or do anything. And it's a very hurtful thing. It's because as a fan, you become so invested in these people. But, you know, for Mustafa Ali, this is a guy who was an alternate for the Cruiserweight Classic, you know, and then he gets signed. He becomes one of the best guys on 205 Live. And now he's going to be on, he's on Live SmackDown every week now. And then this week, I mean, yeah, he had a chance against Brian before, but this week he pins the WWE champion.
Yeah, and that's where I wanted to go from there. Jimmy, here's a call-up that's getting a pin on the WWE champion. A pin in a tag match, though, is normally signifying that we are going to be heading into another match, which I thought was strange because his first match was against Daniel Bryan. Now he gets a pin in a tag match. So to me, it's almost going backwards here. What did you think of this booking?
I'm a little bit confounded by it. My personal opinion, I don't agree with it. I wouldn't have done it that way because there's a way to get over without going over. All this was for me was a shock value moment.
Right.
And I would have rather had a nice build to that moment. Kind of, again, we talk about introducing new stars and introducing them the right way by just throwing them on TV. That's not an introduction because, let's face it, like you said, NXT and 205 Live aren't seen by the vast majority of the audience. You have to subscribe to the network to be able to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's only a fraction of what watches on television and other streaming services. So not everybody knows Mustafa Ali. Now he gets that shocking win. And to your more casual viewer, it's like, okay, who is this guy that just pinned our champion? And now, and it has the reverse effect with the diehard hardcore audience. It's more of a shock value. And it, again, where do you go from here? That's my only problem. Where do you go from here? Obviously, he's going to have another match with Daniel Bryan. But, you know, I would have rather it be more story-driven as to leading up to a match as opposed to just a shock value pin in a tag match, if that makes sense.
Well, let's talk about that. Where do you go from here? Not necessarily just with Mustafa Ali, but with... what do you want to see happen? We're headed into a new year. It's 2019. Things are about to get very, very interesting in the wrestling industry as a whole. I'm just going to throw this out there, maybe to be positive. Jimmy, I always know you're a glass half full type of guy. So let's start with you on this one. 2019, you know, what do you want to see happen for the betterment of us as wrestling fans watching this industry?
Just more continuity and it's like that old, you brought up Paul Heyman earlier, and I used to talk with him a lot when he was the creative force behind SmackDown, and he always said, you know, and it's not just him, it's pretty much in the middle, but you book backwards. This is
right.
Our end goal. This is where we want to be. How do we get there? Let's start going from in reverse. And I'd like them to start doing that a little bit more, and hopefully instead of just, again, like they did on Tuesday night, which I thought was more of a shock value moment, be more story driven. Let's tell some stories. Let's make matches mean something, like Larry said earlier. And you know, for me, I would like to see actually more wrestling mm-hmm. on Monday nights because I know it is 3 hours and it's tough to fill 3 hours. SmackDown, I wouldn't tinker with it too much. I think they're doing well. NXT, don't touch a damn thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But Raw, I would just like to see a little more action and a little less talking, and obviously the matches to mean something, like Larry said earlier.
Well, you know, we did see a bit more of that, as Larry did say earlier, in particular also with the Gauntlet match, which did have some meaning coming out of it. So, Larry, you know, the 2019 wish list, let's say, what's out there for you that you'd like to see happen in the industry so these shows aren't that painful to watch?
Jimmy and I are going to agree a lot. Yeah, Raw, I mean... first of all, I pray to God every Monday night that they do not start with a talking segment. But they always do.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's what they do. And it becomes annoying so bad. I mean, there's so many issues from week to week. Are you telling me that we can't just, like, and trust me, I am far from an Attitude Era truther because I think that so much damage was done during the Attitude Era in various ways, but you're telling me that we can't start off with two dudes brawling in the back, fighting out to the arena. You get the gang of goofs to come out and try to break them up. Then whoever's the, you know, the force du jour of the week, whichever McMahon wants to be in charge, can come out and break it up and blah, 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 and say, fine, if you want to fight, we'll do it in a minute. Come back after the commercial and do a match.
Right.
Something just, and that you don't have to do that every week. I don't need a bunch of grandiose stuff. I just want a little bit of difference. And like Jimmy and I agreed on, a little more wrestling, a little more meaning behind the wrestling. And for as much as WWE praises themselves as episodic TV, they honestly aren't a lot of weeks. Because there are stuff where you'll sit there and something will happen this week and you'll go, what does that have to do with last week at all?
Storyline continuity seems to be coming out of both of your mouths here for sure. Well,
and also real quick, if you extend some matches just a little bit with the right people, you don't have to show 8 replays of the opening talking segment everybody hates.
Oh, yeah. The replays are ridiculous. It's a very good point. It could be a 2-hour show just if you remove the replays. Gentlemen, got to say goodbye for this week, but thank you very much, both of you, for hopping on here. I hope you both have a great holiday, even though we really don't stop doing this wrestling thing. But Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and we'll chat with you in the new year, guys.
Thanks, Jason. Happy New Year to you and to Larry and all your families.
You guys too, man. Have a great holiday.
That we shall. And right now, we have to take a break. We're going to come on back. Chat with Dave Meltzer. The Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame inductees are out for this year. 6 new members. We'll chat about it when we come back. And we'll get Dave's take on the call-ups and the supposed new era as well. But everyone's saying a lot of the same thing. It is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. If you'd like to hear the second hour of the show, please surf on over to patreon.com/SNMEradio. And for only $4 a month, you can get all of what we do at Sunday night's main event, meaning the weekly show, the uncut, unedited interviews, and bonus podcast content. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio.